Chapter 4, The Home Under the Ground. Second to the right and straight on till morning. That, Peter had told Wendy, was the way to the Neverland, but nobody could have found it with these instructions, without Peter guiding them. They flew over an ocean, very high up, for a long time, but exactly how long, none of the children could be sure. Finally, "There it is," Peter said calmly. Wendy, John and Michael all recognized it at once.
"John, there's the lake."
"Wendy, I can see your flamingo."
"Look, Michael, there's your cave."
"John, what's that in the forest?"
"It's a wolf with her babies."
"Wendy, I think that's your wolf baby."
"Hey, John, I see the smoke of the Indian camp."
"Where?"
"Show me, and I'll tell you by the way the smoke rises whether they're on the warpath."
"There, just across the mysterious river."
"I see now.
Yes, they're on the warpath."
As they came closer to the island, the sun began to go down and everything became darker. In the old days at home, the Neverland had always begun to look a little dark and scary by bedtime. Then, unexplored parts appeared in it and spread. Black shadows moved about in them, the roar of wild animals became louder, and above all, you lost the certainty that you would win. You were quite glad that the nightlights were on. You even liked Mother to say that this was just the table and the fireplace over here, and that the Neverland was all make-believe. Of course, the Neverland had been make-believe in those days, but it was real now, and there were no nightlights, and it was getting darker every moment. And where was Mother? John asked Peter if there were many pirates on the island at the moment, and Peter said that there were more than ever before.
"Who is the captain now?"
"Hook,"
answered Peter, and his face became very serious as he said that hated word. Michael began to cry, and even John could barely speak, for they knew Hook's reputation.
"He's the worst of them all," John whispered.
"That's right," said Peter.
"What's he like? Is he big?"
"He's not as big as he was."
"What do you mean?"
"I cut a bit off him."
"You?"
"Yes, me," said Peter.
"What bit?"
"His right hand."
"Then he can't fight now?"
"Oh, yes, he can."
"With only his left hand?"
"He has an iron hook instead of a right hand. And after I cut off his hand," Peter continued, "I threw it into the sea where the crocodile caught it in his mouth and ate it. Since then, the crocodile is always chasing after Hook."
"Why?" the children asked.
"Because, after tasting a bit of him, he wants to eat the rest.
But Hook can always hear the crocodile coming, since the crocodile also ate a clock, and now he makes a ticking noise all the time."
They flew along for a few moments in silence. Then Peter said, "John, there is one thing that every boy who serves under me has to promise, and so must you."
John listened carefully.
"It is this. If we meet Hook in a fight, you must leave him to me."
"I promise,"
John said loyally. Finally, Peter gave the signal and began to head downwards. He was followed by John, Michael, Wendy and Tinkerbell, who had been lighting the way for them the whole trip. Down below, in the forest, the Lost Boys were hiding from the pirates. There were six of them, and they were wearing the skins of bears they had killed. They all rushed out of their hiding place in the grass and welcomed Peter as he and the children landed.
"Great news, boys!" Peter cried. "I've brought a mother for you all. Her name is Wendy."
The boys all went on their knees and, holding out their arms, cried,
"Oh, Wendy lady, be our mother!"
"And should I?"
Wendy said, her face shining.
"Of course it would be wonderful, but I'm only a little girl. I have no real experience."
"That doesn't matter," said Peter, as if he were the only person who knew all about it, though he was really the one who knew the least. "What we need is just a nice motherly person who will tell us stories."
Very well, she said. I'll do my best. Come inside immediately, you naughty children. I am sure your feet are wet. And before I put you to bed, I have just enough time to finish the story of Cinderella. The boys jumped up and excitedly went to their underground home, with John, Michael and Wendy following them. The Lost Boys lived in one big room under the ground. They entered their home through several large hollow trees, each with a boy-sized hole in it. There was one large bed, which all the boys slept in together, lying like sardines in a tin. They lived very cosily together in the underground home. At night, they all got into bed and Wendy told them wonderful stories. They had many amazing adventures together, but to describe them all would require a book as large as an English-Latin-Latin-English dictionary, and the most we can do is to describe one as an example of an average day on the island. The difficulty is which one to choose. Should we choose the fight with the Indians on the mountain, or the night attack by the Indians on the house under the ground, when several of them got stuck in the hollow trees and had to be pulled out like corks? Or we might tell how Peter saved the life of the Indian princess Tiger Lily in the Mermaid's Lagoon and made her his friend. Or we could tell of the cake the pirates baked with poison in it so the boys might eat it and die, and how they put it in one clever spot after another. But always Wendy grabbed it out of the hands of her children, so that after a while the cake became old and as hard as stone, and they used it as a rocket and hit Hook on the head with it. Which of these adventures should we choose? The best way will be to toss a coin for it. I have tossed, and the lake has won.